I suppose another reason as well that we can tend to make an authority figure out of the Buddha is that we just find it hard to believe just how kind and wise a Buddha can be. You know, I mean, anyone more developed than we are, yeah, what could there be to be afraid of? I mean, if they're not kinder and wiser than we are, then they're not more developed than we are. I mean, it's axiomatic that insight, spiritual development, is going to make one a better person, you know? It's not going to make you an awkward, cantankerous old boot. I mean, that's going to be absurd, wouldn't it? And as I think I've hinted earlier, I used to carry my own projections around. I remember in my early days in the movement, I confided in my teacher, Sangharachita, that I was afraid of him. The answer he gave was amazing, actually, because he said, well, not only me, I expect. I mean, he could have so easily have sort of answered in the vein of, there, you know, there's nothing to fear, I won't bite, I'm actually quite cuddly once you get to know me. And I would, of course, probably have learnt nothing. But what he said, not only me, I expect. I realised that he was telling me, well, that's yours, isn't it? You're bringing that. And probably, you know, and you don't only bring it to me, I expect. And that was just amazing. I found that so helpful. And indeed, you know, Sangharachita is a very decent bloke. And he spent the whole of his adult life establishing a spiritual community in the West, which is no mean feat. But so, how much more so with the Buddha, yeah? What could there be to be afraid of? And the Buddha I carry around with me is a friend, yeah? A wise friend. Someone who is nothing but love. It's the only way I can think of describing. Someone on my side, yeah? Someone not trying to trip me up or looking down on me, but holding and encouraging me. Pure love. I mean, we often talk about the Buddha being supreme wisdom and compassion. But I think the word compassion in our language, it's not so much used in current English. And often it sounds like, compassion sounds like dispassion, you know. But compassion is kindness. And kindness, I think, is one of the most beautiful words in the world. So what could there be to be afraid of? So what is it about this person that made it possible for him to become nothing but love, yeah? What transformation had taken place under the Bodhi tree that made this possible, this believable, yeah? This true. I mean, we can look at it many ways, and indeed, I think the rest of this talk is trying to explore that. What was that transformation? You could talk about the Buddha had woken up from the dream of life, the dream of egocentric volition. Yeah? As we all probably know, Buddha means awake, one who is awake. So, I am a Buddha can just as well be easily rendered as, I am awake. And I must admit, I find this a much more accessible way to think of the Buddha. And indeed, the Buddha did recommend to his followers the importance of using the local vernacular in communicating his teaching effectively. And I remember asking my teacher Sangharachita once how he thought an enlightened being experiences the world. And he replied to the effect, well, actually it's very similar to us, but with a major difference. They're not concerned with I and mine. They would see a tree as we'd see a tree, but without any self-reference. I mean, I remember another instance also some time ago in a study group where Sangharachita once said, but what more enlightenment can there be than to be irreversibly positive? I remember thinking at the time that was a bit prosaic. Some years later, nearly 20 years later, I asked him again about this, and he commented that, well, irreversibility was the point. But I don't think on the first occasion I was able really to take in the idea of being irreversibly positive. But what could be more wonderful? And this definition was so stripped of mumbo-jumbo. Yeah, it's a great definition, to be irreversibly positive. Yet I was initially disappointed, yeah? I mean, the answer wasn't exciting enough or exotic enough. Such was my immaturity at the time. But it did happen 20 years ago. And it's funny, though, I've never forgotten that phrase, actually. Never, and it's always been with me, irreversibly positive. And it's interesting over the years how my disappointment has turned into real excitement. And so I've always thought, you know, if I could really understand what was going on in the mind of a Buddha, then I'd be able to sort of develop it much more easily. You know, I've always wanted to sort of, if the Buddha was here now, say, well, what's it like to be enlightened? How is it different for you?